And everyone said, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I'm going to read a few verses with you today. When we hear about the year-end offering, I think there's, 5,500 or 6,000 there right now. And I know that that is going to increase incredibly this week. What God has called us to do, we just need help, everyone together on it. He's not telling anyone in particular to do the whole thing, but do what God has called you to do. Help with that wheelchair access lift at St. Anthony's, and also help with the video cameras that we're going to add in over there as well with the city and the county and what they're doing already. And yesterday, our Joe Cohn and Jonathan Wagner were busy all day putting and beginning the work on finishing the new camera system that is happening in the Generation Center next door. And I just thank God for them, those men. Jonathan Wagner is Wayne and Shawnee's son-in-law. And Joe is here. I saw Joe stand up. We all want to say thank you this morning. He don't want to do it, but come on. He worked all day, like 8 to 9 o'clock yesterday on doing that. Thank you, Joe. And so we do that for the safety of everyone that is serving. So when your kids are next door, you don't have to worry about, you know, something going on ever. The adults, the volunteers, everyone is protected. And somebody told me years ago when we put the first system in, they said, what if that just turns out to be a waste of money? I said, I'd praise God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. And so that's what we want to add that to, what's going to happen at St. Anthony's. Just asking you to do your part. You can use the Push Pay app to do that. There's a spot right on the giving there. It says year-end giving. You can do it that way. Send in, check, however you want to do it. Thank you in advance for partnering with us on that great cause. I want to talk to you this morning on from this verse of Scripture, and I want to encourage you in this thought, the wonder of Christmas, not to lose the power of this moment in our lives. I read this little story. I thought it was cute. A 90-year-old couple sat on the front porch one night. The old man was overcome with romance of the evening, and he said to his hard-of-hearing wife, I'm proud of you. She said, what did you say? He said, I am proud of you. She looked back at him. She said, I'm tired of you too. And more often isn't that the case, that over time, the more familiar we become with something or even someone, the less fascination that we have with it. We get tired of things quickly. It's our nature. Things that once fascinated us now seem to have little emotional value to them. My mom used to say, familiarity breeds contempt. But the reality of it is familiarity breeds indifference. And the more we become familiar with something, the less fascinated we are by it. The newness wears off, and we have a tendency to lose the wonder of the moment. And that happens at Christmas time as well. We have heard the Christmas story over and over again, and sometimes we just categorize it as some fable that, okay, it's that time of the year. We're just going to read it again, and okay, and we'll be over with it, and everything will be done, and thank God that's over. But God wants us to slow up a little in that moment and have a wonder of what is taking place some over 2,000 years ago. And this old, old story that we have read so many times, I want to read it again to you. And I want you to look at it with fresh eyes this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I want you to hear that this morning. The good news of Jesus isn't just for a few. It isn't just for the nice. It's for the naughty as well. It's good news for everyone. He goes on in verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Isn't that just a fascinating moment if you read that with new eyes again? Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Come on, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known of.' And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They marveled at that. One translation says they were amazed. Another one says they expressed astonishment. They were in awe. And that is something that you and I should never lose, is the awe of this moment of our lives. Our feelings can become so diluted by all the stuff that is going in and around us all the time. But God is helping and wanting to bring us all back to the awe and have a profound sense that the Savior of the world has come, not just in a story, but he's come to live in your life and in mine. Jesus has come not just to walk by you, but to come to live inside of you and to be with you, and to strengthen you when you're weak, to lift you up when you're sad, to bring hope to you when you feel hopeless. He's the one, the Bible says, that will never leave you nor forsake you. He will stay with you like a brother who may have never stayed. He sticketh closer, the Bible says, than a brother. This is the Savior of the world that has come to you and I. And God says to you and I today, don't allow anything to come into your life to cause this to go away. Keep the sense of awe and wonder in your heart. When you walk in, when I came in this morning and I saw the lights and I looked at the poinsettias and I heard the choir singing and I saw the smiling faces and I saw people pounding Christmas cookies like they haven't eaten in a week. It's a joke. Please, I said in the first service, I love you, but please, nobody send me any more Christmas cookies. I've eaten more Christmas cookies in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last 2 years. And they've been so good. But when I came in and I saw that, something leaps within your heart. Yeah, I know that life can just cause us to, you know, have these disappointments and letdowns and everything. And sometimes we feel like maybe we got to get pumped up at a moment to get through it. But God is telling you and I that he sent his only son to the world, that you and I should never lose the wonder of what that really means to us. Come on. We should never lose the wonder. Do you believe that today? Come on. Can you just clap your hands for the wonder of God? I love how Max Lucado says it. I read this a few weeks ago on a Thursday night. He said, "It's the season to be jolly because more than any other time we think of him, more than any other season, his name is on our lips. For a few precious hours, we become a chorus singing, 'Come and behold him,' which stirs even the sleepiest of some, pointing them to the Christ child. Those who pass the year without seeing him, they suddenly see him. People that have been accustomed to using his name in vain pause to use it in praise. Eyes now free of the blinders of self, they marvel at his majesty, and all of a sudden, he is everywhere. He's in the grin of the policeman as he drives a wagon full of presents to the orphanage. He's in the emotion of a father who is too thankful to finish the dinner table prayer. He's in the tears of a mother who welcomes home her son from overseas. He's in the solemn silence of the crowd of shopping mall shoppers as the elementary school chorus sings, "Away in a Manger." He is with us. This is Christmas, and God has come. Heaven has come to earth. God has become man before us. We have spaceships, we have internet, we have microchips, we have modern medicine, we have all the wonders that our grandparents couldn't even foresee. Yet, we have become a generation that is not characterized in awe, but by cynicism and sarcasm. We live in a day of technological, medical, and military advancement, yet we take it all for granted because we have lost something in our culture. And I want to ask you today, have you lost the wonder? G.K. Chesterton wrote, "The world will never starve for the want of wonders, but only for the want of wonder." Wonders are all around us, but it is the sense of wonder that is missing and most needed in our lives. I love that. And even at Christmas, if we're not careful, we become so stressed out. We're concerned about counting dollars and counting calories, and we miss the wonder. If we're not careful, we reduce Christmas to a mere fable or fairy tale. And we secularize it so much that when we talk about Christmas, we don't even bring the Jesus Christ of Christmas into the entire story. And we get to a place where, like some, they say, it doesn't even seem like Christmas because we have lost that wonder and we have lost the Christ of the Christmas. And I want to encourage you that maybe you need to look at Christmas through the eyes of a child one more time. I was reminded of that this week, of thinking about my childhood when I was just a little boy, and we grew up in a very difficult home and lifestyle. But I remember one particular Christmas coming down the stairs in the morning on Christmas morning, and I looked, and what I never thought I'd ever see was we saw some presents under our tree. And there was an excitement to this day that I still remember. That was a wonder that I will never forget. I want you to encourage you to look at Christmas again as though you were seeing it for the first time. That it struck you as the wonder of the first time, no matter how old you are or how young you are. Hear the music. Hear the sounds. Hear the Christmas carols fresh. Hear the story of Jesus and the magnificent birth of this little baby, like the first time that you have ever heard it. Think about the astonishing events that unfolded in the first Christmas. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant and never had relationships with her. Who would have faulted him if he said, "I'm out of here"? What? You said you became pregnant by who? The Holy Spirit? Right. And yet he chose to stay. He chose to continue to go with her and to see this virgin birth take place. And then there's the baby. I mean, who doesn't get all giddy when they see a baby? A baby will make a grown man say, act, and do things like he would never do any other place. There is something about a baby that brings a man or a woman to weep uncontrollably over the excitement, the innocence, the dependency, and the emotions that they bring like nothing else that they could ever experience. And then the angels and the shepherds being visited by them and the Holy Host singing. And all of a sudden a light shone on them and they heard this glory. And then the Bible says that the angels were taken away into heaven. And next the shepherds, they drop everything to go find out what is the reality of this baby and just to discover the miracle that had taken place. God came to earth as a human being. Divinity came in the form of humanity. Praise God for that. And then this, I read it already in Luke chapter 2, where it said they were amazed. I love how different translations, they express it. Some say they were impressed. Others say they were astonished. They were astounded. They were surprised. They heard it and wondered. And then what I really like is this one translation where it says they were all filled with wonder. I want to encourage you today, beyond anything else, to be filled with the wonder of God. Would you like to rekindle that wonder? Listen to this. I'll close in just a moment. Wonder begins, number one, in the presence of God. The shepherds had seen God. They'd seen the light. They felt the glow. They heard the sounds. And the wonder of God went to their being. My brothers and sisters, we need to hear what they heard. We need to see what they saw. We need to feel what they felt. We need to sense everything around us. We need to allow the Christ at Christmas to penetrate us so that we know what His presence is to us. And then when you know His presence, you cannot help but worship Him. Wonder will always draw us to worship our God. It will always. The Bible says that when the shepherds return, they return glorifying and praising God. Are there any praisers and worshipers in God's house today? Come on. Are there any praisers? Wonder will lead you to worship God. No one will have to make you. You can't help but worship and honor God when you are in His presence and when you begin to sense who He really is. The natural response is, I have to worship, I have to praise a living God. And then we move from the wonder and the presence and the worship to where we can't leave a baby in a cradle, but this baby wants to come and live in our heart. My brothers and my sisters, today, as you and I celebrate Christmas, we cannot forget this Christ at Christmas and how He has come, not just to dwell among us, but the Bible says He has come to live inside of you and I. Oh, I thank God for that. That we can't celebrate what Christmas is really all about until we know what that literally means to you and I. He's not come to judge you. He's not come to put you out. He's not come to categorize you that you're here and someday if you're good, you'll be here. Do you know that Jesus looks at every single one of us in the same way? He looks at us through the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The same baby that was born was the same child 33 years later that hung on a cross and shed His blood and died for you and I, that you and I could live. And at this Christmas, if you really want to know and have the wonder of who Jesus is, that you not only need to celebrate what He did in a coming to earth as a baby, but you and I must celebrate what He did on the cross as well and realize that His blood has paid for your sin and mine. Come on, come on. This is a good time to give Him thanks and praise. And He just doesn't want to be some fable or fairy tale, but He wants you and I to have a wonder when it comes to our knowledge and our understanding of who he is. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray in particular for some this morning. Some that are hurting, some that are broken, some that have been disconnected. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You just have always felt like, I just don't measure up. You know, the reality of it is none of us do. That's why the baby came. Did you know when he came? The Bible says there was no room for him in an inn, and that he was taken to a manger where it was dirty and it was smelly and it wasn't the best. Do you know that from the beginning of time, God allowed that to happen, to send a message to you and I, that no matter where you are in your life today, no matter how dirty, no matter how dark, no matter how broken you are, Jesus has come for you and I. He did not come in a gold-covered chariot, but he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger, so that you and I could receive him into our lives. Close your eyes and bow your head with me just for a moment this morning. Those who are going to pray at the altar, would you come? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to do that today. If you're here today and you've just lost the wonder of who he is, you can get that back today. You can enter into this Christmas day, this next week, with an awe and a wonder in your life like you have never had before. You can leave 2018 and move into 2019 with a brand new experience with Jesus, our Savior. Spirit of the living God, as you do so well, I pray that you touch every single heart. Lord, for that one or those ones that have never asked you into their lives, I pray that this moment, this day, that you would be their Lord and their Savior. And I pray for those who are carrying a heavy burden in their heart and their lives today, that you would help them and lift that off of them, I pray. For those who are sick in their bodies, I pray that you will touch them and heal them by your power. Today, Lord, I pray for every person, from the youngest to the eldest in this house, that you would minister strength and power and your love to them. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. If you need prayer today, if you gave your heart to Christ or you want to do that, come down. Let these folks pray for you. Before you leave, stop at the table in the back and enjoy some refreshments. We made the service so you'd have extra time to do that this morning. I love you. Go in his grace. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, 6 o'clock here. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at St. Anthony's. I love you. Go in his grace.